Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
This show is brought to you by Doc Sports Services.
Listen In with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, is back today with me, your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson, with a special holiday edition in store for you all. So, yes, our special guest joining me today will be none other than Lewis Buxton. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag Listen In with KNN. Now, the show will resume after this quick commercial break. Stay tuned.
The Virginia State University Credit Union. You have all you need in the credit union. When working with the Virginia State University Credit Union, you can rest assured that you're doing business with people you know and people who know you. Membership is open to all Virginia State alumni, current students, and staff. It's easy to join. You can call them toll-free at 888-445-5105 or at 804-526-6708. You can click www.vsufcu.org or stop by. They're located at 3401 Boiso Street in Petersburg, Virginia. The Virginia State University Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district and beyond. It's now the time to get into the show and welcome in Lit Within director and former Sheffield Wednesday, Stroke City and Bournemouth defender, Lewis Buxton. Lewis, how are you today?
Oh, good, thanks, Kelsey. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, it is a true pleasure. And of course, I love the accent. You're adding a new dimension to our show, so we're very excited to have you. And before we get into the question and answer section of the show, tell us a little bit about what you've been doing lately.
I work as a performance consultant for individual players, managers, and also businesses. So anything to do with performance, really. My background is I played football or soccer. In the UK for 17 years. So I've got a natural interest in performance. And we're just looking to branch out, maybe work in the US a little bit now as well.
Yeah, we'd love that. Definitely would love to have you come over here. And let's get into the show. So Lewis, I mean, you're well known for your work with Lit Within. Can you further just talk about your work with Lit Within's origins? And ultimately, can you describe the business's mission statement moving into the long-term future?
Yeah, I think if we're to describe our business for anyone out there, it would be performance consultants, like I said. We're looking to equip players from an early age and, you know, maybe older ones as well, so they can perform in any circumstance, really. We work with a basis of human experience as opposed to trying to get them to think positive or avoid thinking negatively. We just teach them about their experience and there's implications and benefits performance-wise from that. So I guess our statement is to spread that through everyone we work with, and further afield we look to bring that into a business domain as well, and to schools is another aspect we're looking at.
Nice, very cool. And just dealing with that, I mean, sales and referral training, as well as management development, structural intelligence, career progression, and professional consultation, of course, are among the many professional services and skills which you've mentioned, which Lit Within provides consultation for. So that being said, I mean, how much did your professional career as a footballer prepare you for this very exciting new chapter in your career?
I think there's, like, obviously you've got to build a competence in new things that you do. You know, if you're going from any job in professional sport and then moving into kind of the business world, you've got to pick up competencies along the way. And I think that the performance side, there's things you learn within professional sport that are transferable, definitely. And you can see how a lot of players can move into management pretty quickly and pick things up along the way. So I guess part of what we do with kind of teaching people about their own experiences is how to progress and learn as quick as possible without kind of having the hang-ups of that can come with transition.
Yeah. And that being said, I mean, Lit Within specializes in management, family support, and player performance in addition. So can you talk about the importance of family support for professionals in the game?
Yeah, sure. I mean, in an ideal world, you know, we'd have players that have great support. So I guess our definition of performance might be a little bit different to others, and support may be a little bit different, because we're trying to equip people with a mindset where they can be comfortable in their own skin. So even if they haven't got that network, which some people unfortunately aren't born with, you know, they haven't got real solid relationships with their parents or even their coach or their teachers. So we're trying to equip them for absolutely everything that life could throw at them, you know. So in an ideal world, we obviously want everything set up. They got their family, they got their partner, if they have a partner, all supporting them, and they of course supporting their family back. But that's not always there. In the UK, you know, you get a lot of players that maybe don't have that support from their family, or they're from a tough neighborhood where they've got other challenges. So it's just equipping them to see that they can be okay, they can enjoy their sport no matter what.
Right. I mean, I'm sure, and obviously you are able to pull from that. You had 17 successful years as a footballer that you described. So obviously you really know the game well, and you know really how to support these professionals. So I know they value truly what you bring to the table. And that being said, I mean, the key to career progression is the title of an incredibly insightful, and I'll say rather candid, retrospective blog post, which you wrote on the Lit Within website regarding the early stages of your career. So now I would like to ask you, can you discuss the fundamental differences between state of play and, of course, state of mind?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I just, in a different context, it's always different. So I think in that article, I wrote a little bit about the early stages of my career. And I think anyone that loves sport, you know, whether it's NBA, NFL, MLS, whatever it is, Premier League, that there's kind of a state of mind that we play in when we're younger, where we've not got the stresses and strains. We've not built up all the problems and the distractions that are going to stop us playing freely. And if any player out there, they talk about being in the zone. And I think I experienced that much more often when I was a young kid playing for kind of 6 hours. So I could go out and play with my friends on the street, or I could go out and play in the park. And I'd just get immersed in it and get lost in it and play for, you know, 5-6 hours. And not even realize until my mum says, "Where are you?" You know, that's before mobile phones. So she'd have to come down and get me, or and it would be dark, you know. So it's that quality of experience. Whereas kind of state of play is what the world can throw at you, you know, things that maybe you don't have control over, you know. So I don't know, you might have a manager in a professional club who for whatever reason you don't fit there, and they don't want you there. So you can be distracted, and it can take up a large cut of your career if you don't understand the difference between your own experience and what happens out there, which is uncontrollable in the sporting world, you know. So I guess a really cool example is when teams play away, you know. To give you an example, over here in the UK, I heard recently some of the commentators on Sky Sports talking about when they used to go to Liverpool. They're at Manchester United, and when they used to go to Liverpool, you know, they always had to deal with the atmosphere there. But we're saying if you have a high quality state of mind, you'll be able to play in a hostile away team stadium in the same way you could play at home in your own stadium, with everyone cheering in your name. So it's kind of creating that understanding within people to know that they can go out into any state of play, you know, stadium or any type of challenge, and their state of mind is that understood and that strong, that they can they can deliver their level of competence wherever and whenever they need to.
And I like the distinction you made between those two, because I think often those do get interchanged. But the way you just described it in those two examples is great, especially, like you said, if a player can play the same way they play at home as they play away, I think that takes away a lot of the stresses, right? Because most of the time, of course, we think players are most comfortable at home, which makes sense, right? You have fans cheering you on, and you're in an environment that you get used to. But you're right, if you're able to get that state of play right and your state of mind, I think, right together, I think it just makes you stronger as a player. And like you said, then you don't have those different factors that might throw your game off. So I really like that you wrote that piece. And transitioning to my next question, I would like to ask, I mean, this is something we talk about a lot and often. A percentage of retired footballers often succumb to bankruptcy, unfortunately, and or mental health issues post-retirement. So I'd like to ask you, how paramount was it for you and the Lit Within team to educate others in the game, particularly, right, with preparing for life thereafter the game?
Yeah, I think it's a really important aspect in all sports, you know, all professionals. You know, whether they get to 20 years and they've played one season at a professional club and then they pick up an injury and have to move on to another career coaching or retrain in some other business, or whether they played a full career, kind of like I did to 33, and they have to transition. So you're talking about people that have played one sport and given their all for since age six or something. You know, they might have started at a professional club slightly later. So it's kind of been all they've known. So it can be a period, like you said, where people, there's a high rate of bankruptcy for mm-hmm. football, but soccer players in this country, also a high rate of divorce. So, you know, you can make of that what you will, but I think in general, if you equip the players, like I said, to cope with all the challenges in life from an early age, then they're going to be able to adapt, adjust, learn quickly, and move on. You know, they can look back on their career and say that was great, but you know, there's still a lot of life within these people, and it's just helping them to see that, and they can go out there and learn something new and have the type of enjoyment, the type of career progression that they had as a player in anything they want to do, you know.
Right, and that's so vital and so important, because of course we don't want to hear them, you know, going to bankruptcy and even having mental health issues after, you know, we've cheered these players on. Let's have that change can do something to somebody. But the fact that you guys are helping to equip and prepare them for life after football or soccer, as we know it here in the U.S., I think it's vital and it's instrumental, and I truly applaud your organization for that. And I mean, just staying on that subject, though, historically, many successful players have come from poverty-stricken environments, as we kind of talked about before, such as right here, DC United superstar Wayne Rooney, of course, who grew up in a council house on the very mean and, you could say, gang-laden streets of Croxteth, Liverpool. So what does Lit Within have for young players listening in right now today who want to become a professional footballer, yet are from very disadvantaged and poverty-stricken neighborhoods?
Yeah, I think, you know, like you mentioned Wayne Rooney there, I think, you know, it comes down to the time. There'll be thousands and tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of young players out there who want to have kind of even a 10% of what Wayne Rooney's done in the game. And unfortunately, a lot of them won't ever make it to even the professional level, you know. So right. That's kind of why we've got an interest in schools as well, because we see that this is full cycle. You know, people need to get to understand how their mind works from a young age, and it's not quite there at school. So if they get to 14 and they drop out, you know, they know they're okay. They can go and learn something new. You know, they don't get too caught up in what might have been. They can just go on and enjoy their life.
Right.
But it's interesting, you know, you say about a lot of players coming from poverty and that make it big in the game. And I like to think that, you know, they've kind of built a resilience there, which can be built in any circumstance. But sometimes you're kind of forced into it if you're in a poverty area, you know, because you've had to come up with challenges. Everything's not been there exactly how you'd like it in your environment. But you've got to realize that it's not all about the environment, you know, that you can make things happen yourself if you really want to. You can kind of change your circumstances, and that's going to come from your state of mind, doing something that you really are inspired to do, as opposed to, you know, looking at all the challenges out there. Not to say that they're easy, but looking at them and seeing that they've got power over me to kind of keep me here and stop me from progressing. You know, it's not easy, but because anyone that's been in that scenario will know that, you know, there's a lot of challenges there. But like I said, you've got to look at somebody who is in the same situation, you know, lives in the same tough neighborhood, tough street, and one is equipped with understanding they can thrive in any circumstance, and another thinks that his kind of well-being and his development is dependent always on outside circumstances. And we're saying that it's the guy who has that strong mindset and understanding that his own experience is not dominated by his environment or his neighborhood, you know, because they're the ones that are going to get to enjoy, they're going to get to develop and kind of explore what they really love doing.
Right. And that's vital. And I love that you know, really went into that, and you really show that, you know, it doesn't matter your background, right? You can make it. And as you said, it doesn't mean everyone's going to be the next Wayne Rooney, but there's so many different areas that these young youth that you're going to be working with can succeed in. So again, I mean, it's giving opportunity to everyone and yourself, Lewis. And Mr. Michael Gilmore actually first encountered, right, at Regent's University in London. So, you know, I'd love to hear you talk more about some of the many examples and successes achieved using your unique and very exceptional leadership and marketing approach at Lit Within.
Yeah, you know, they're varied. They're from business to players to coaches. But, you know, I think overall, when we work with a player, and what I learned during my career is that, you know, you don't need a strategy, you don't need to feel a particular way to go out there and perform and enjoy your sport, or even if it's just somebody, you know, going into work every day. You know, it doesn't mean that the outside circumstance, the job, has to be perfect exactly how you want it, because that's never going to happen. You know, you've just got to realize that I'm capable of changing my circumstances. So I think there's a varying different ways that can play out. So you can have a player who is, let me give you an example of maybe a sort of a Premiership player who could be in training. This happens throughout the leagues. It probably happens in NBA, NFL as well, and all these baseball, etc., where you've got a player who's kind of the best player in training. They perform really well in training, but when it comes to game time, they kind of probably hit their top performance level, you know, 1 in 5, 1 in 6. So we all know that ability and that competence is there, but, you know, the player sees that the circumstance is different in training to a game. So it's trying to get them to understand and realize that performance doesn't go anywhere, you know. You might get covered over by a bit of pressure, might get covered over by a loss of form, but it's always there. So it's just helping players to see it. And that's one of the common aspects that we deal with players. With coaches, it's kind of different, you know. You can see coaches, they got a lot of stress. I think we all have stress at times, don't we? You know, in it, whatever job we're in. But it's helping them to understand stress as opposed to what a lot of sports psychologists do, which is try and kind of stop stress altogether, or try and come up with a coping strategy, you know, deep breathing every time you feel stressed or something. We're saying that's not needed. You just get to understand what stress is, how it builds, and then once you know that, you see and perceive stress a lot different, you know, and that's a big competitive advantage. And helps people to enjoy their game or career much, much more.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just hearing you talk about stresses and some of the factors that come with the game. I mean, more recently, Manchester City star Raheem Sterling was the subject of racial abuse from Chelsea supporters during a Premier League clash. So I'm just curious to know, does Lit Within have an initiative or a message in general for, let's say, Black and ethnic minority players in England who are the recipients of such racial hatred or torment?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you talk about that incident, I know that's a kind of that was a racist comment. And we had another incident over here with Dele Alli, who plays for England. He had a bottle thrown at him by a fan, you know. So it's kind of helping them to understand that within sport, within professional football, it's kind of a very different culture than it is to something, for example, rugby, you know, our version of NFL, if you like. You know, in the NFL, when a kicker goes to kick, the whole stadium falls quiet and the fans sit together. Whereas with soccer in this country, the fans are separate, and it's kind of socially acceptable in a football ground for someone to hurl abuse at you if you're a player, you know, which on the street that wouldn't happen. So it's kind of like a cultural thing that's slowly changing. So it's kind of getting players firstly to understand that someone like Raheem Sterling, he had that racist abuse. That would be kind of the state of play, you know. That's the way things are at the moment, and it's slowly being eroded. That belief that we're different because of our skin colour, you know, that's slowly been eroded through time, through great work from people kind of all over the world. But it's kind of getting to see how that's playing out, that it has changed a lot. And this person can't impact your performance on the pitch. He can't impact your enjoyment of the game. And actually, you know, once we've kind of worked with players for a long time, they might even feel sorry for this guy, you know. This guy is that kind of lost in his own thoughts, that the only thing he can think to do is to you know, abuse somebody else, because you know, let's face it, he's not enjoying his life that much, and he's blaming somebody else and lashing out in anger, you know. So we get them to see other people's perspectives. That's not to say his behaviour is acceptable whatsoever. It's not. But it's getting to understand everyone has their own perspective. And that can be quite warped, you know.
Right. And I mean, just hearing you say that and the work that you guys do, can you talk more about your role specifically as director of Lit Within and the essential power of leadership and communication, let's say both in professional sports and in business?
Yeah, I think leadership. I've just listened to Alex Ferguson's leadership book, actually, on Audible. So that's really interesting. But if you take, for example, like we said, with competence, you know, there's a certain level of competence you've got to acquire, a skill set. And then what runs alongside that is kind of your own understanding of your experience. So over here with Manchester United recently, Jose Mourinho, whose competence level is through the roof, you know, he's won Champions Leagues, he's been one of the most successful managers of all time. He recently got sacked, he was replaced by former striker Solskjaer, and immediately the change in the team was evident, you know. So I think leadership is all about creating leaders. There's this idea out there that a leader is a guy who tells everyone off and cracks a whip, but it's not for us. It's getting to know everyone that you're leading on a personal level. You know, you don't have to know what their favorite food is, but you've got to get to know their background, get them to know their family a little bit, get to know what motivates them and all these things, and create leaders. And that's kind of the difference between us and a lot of companies out there, I would say.
Yeah, and I think that's a great differentiator. And going back to the game, I'd love to talk, I mean, about, we know a lot, there's a lot going on, of course, right, with the affluent sums of money in the game today, which has been well documented, particularly with certain players' gambling addiction. And so, of course, you as the director of Lit Within, I mean, I would love to hear from you, does Lit Within provide consultation on financial management and advice in terms of these gambling addictions?
Okay, so you mean what would we do to help somebody who's maybe kind of sidetracked by gambling that's in the
exactly,
sport, you mean?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think gambling is kind of a big issue in this country. I think it's kind of changed since the last kind of 10, 20, 30 years where drinking alcohol used to be the problem, you know? So you'd have, there was a big culture over here where players would go out and drink maybe twice a week, you know, which is crazy when you think about it, you know. And slowly we had players coming from Spain and Italy and France who just were not interested in drinking, you know. And slowly that's changed over time, and now it's moved into gambling as one of the problems. So I think it's just getting them to know why they might gamble. Because logically it don't make sense, you know. Bookies don't make millions of pounds because gambling is a good idea, you know. So it's kind of getting them to understand why they might gamble, get them to see why some people don't gamble and others do. So it's just getting them to understand that slowly over a period of time, to the point where they no longer, in their experience, it makes sense to gamble. You know, me telling them not to gamble, telling them why it's a bad thing, explaining the environment and the state of play around gambling is one thing, but it's their own experience that has to change for their behavior to change, you know. So we work on that premise. We're not trying to just fill them with information. We're just giving them a slower understanding of their own experience and why innocently people tend to get caught up in gambling, you know.
Okay, I got you completely right. So kind of looking at those factors that even got them there in the first place, which I think is very important. I mean, that goes into my next question. Can you talk about the fundamental core values for education at Lit Within?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, just describe this to the listening audience. Yeah, what exact fundamental core values for education are currently in place with your organization?
Again, we start by kind of addressing whichever problem the education company will have, you know. So within a school, or, you know, even if it's an academy level within a football club, you know, we look at their specific problem. You know, we're dealing with human beings. Like I said, you've got to get to know the people involved. You've got to understand their mind a little bit and understand the problem that they're up against. So I think one in kind of education, I mean, over here, I don't know about in the US, but the rate of children on antidepressants, for example, is rising, you know. So we're looking to kind of have an impact on that figure based on our core values, which is getting the children and, more importantly, the teachers to understand human experience, what the cause of anxiety is, what the cause of stress is, rather than trying to give them a technique, like I said before, of breathing a certain way. But I think also you've got to look at kind of the educational system as a whole, because sometimes I speak to quite a few teachers, actually a couple in the US as well, and there's kind of this idea that the only drive should be towards the results, you know. And I think sometimes there's children that come into the system that are kind of not, they don't quite fit the system, you know. They might be slightly more artistic or slightly more hands-on, you know. They might want to be a mechanic. They ain't got any interest in certain subjects that are there. Yeah, exactly. Because you're dealing with people, you know, and that's something I think gets lost in education. So we're all about same thing every time. You know, we're just looking at what motivates this person. Let's get to know them. Let's get to understand the individual person, and then let's work from there. The school's obviously got a job. You know, schools are like businesses now, you know, so they've got a job to do. They've got targets to hit and the rest of it. But we're saying if you get to understand the perspective of the children, all the answers to high performance are going to be there. We're not here to force answers and force strategies down people's throats. We're here to bring those out of people.
Right, right. And I love that, like you said, and you work with the individual because we're all different and unique in our own ways. And you really work to understand that, which I think is vital to making sure your personal program is successful. And that's why you're on the show, because it's obviously been proven to work. And just staying with that, I mean, Live Within empowers wellness and positive lifestyles, right? So what tips would you provide to our listeners with regards to improving their overall wellness?
What advice would we provide for to improve their overall wellness, did you say?
Yes, just to our overall listening audience.
Okay, well, I think, like you said, it's kind of fashionable to give people like a 10-step process to wellness, you know, like at the moment, I'll give you an example over here. There's a big drive to get people exercising because they think that exercising creates mental health, right? So well-being. But although that's true in a physical sense, from a mental sense, what you'll find is that comes first. So people that are, have got great mental health, great mental well-being, you know, I'm talking about the well-being we're born with, that they will know when it's time to go for a run, you know. They'll be like, oh, you know, I'm putting on a few pounds of, I feel like now's the time to go to the gym and do a bit of exercise.
Right.
Yeah, you've got your own navigation system, that little kind of knowing that you have in the back of your mind, that kind of quiet thing that's kind of there that you ignore sometimes. That'll tell you when I'm putting off a few pounds and I need to go for a run, or, you know, I've had a great Christmas, so I've eaten a lot of food and drank too much. Now's not the time to go out and get drunk two nights in a row or something, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of getting people to understand that their intuition is the best guide. You know, I can give you a nutrition plan over 2 weeks, and if you don't understand what you should be eating, there's still value in that. But how many people get a nutrition plan and then go off and just go to McDonald's or whatever?
It's easy, right? It's convenient.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
So it's on that plan that you know you should follow.
Yeah, so we help them to understand that it's all about their own instincts, their own inner guidance system that they have there. It's just kind of helping them to know that that's already on offer. They've just got to get back in tune and understand how that works. You know, when you're hungry, your body will tell you you're hungry. You know, when you want to go for a jog, you'll get to know that, you know, everyone knows that. But it's just, like I said, because we're working on people's own perception, when they get to see the subtleties in that, then it changes. That's when the changes in behavior come. It's not from me giving you 5 steps to wellness, you know, as much as we'd like that sometimes, you know, when we're caught up and we feel, look, I just need to lose 10 pounds. I just need to be, I need to stress less on all these kinds of things. It's getting to know that that system and how it works, as opposed to writing down on a piece of paper what you should do for the next 10 days, you know.
Right. Well, that makes sense, like you said.
We all have that inside of us, right? It's just, you're trying to help people make sure they listen, actually, to, like you said, our intuition.
Listening is key. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean,
that's important.
Yeah, definitely. And this time of year, you know, New Year resolutions around the corner. Only have to, how many of them are going to be in the bin by February? You know?
Oh my gosh, it may be mid-January, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's true, right? I mean, we talk about losing weight. That's usually always number one for most people, and they'll buy these gym memberships, right? So it's the perfect time for gyms. But then, how many people are actually going to follow through and listen to that voice that says, you know what, you do need to work out 3 times a week to keep healthy. You do need to change those eating habits, you know, to live a long, healthy life. So that makes sense. You're really trying to push people to listen to what's already inside of them, which is key, right? It's something that's already there. It's just actually you taking the time to listen to your own needs and, you know, work on your own needs. I think that's great that you guys do that. And, I mean, kind of staying with that, I mean, what within that, going back to the great blog that you guys on the great blog that you guys have in your blog section, Lit With It has a blog section where articles are written by yourself, Lewis, of course, on the website. And mental health, well-being, business, sports are basically the key themes of it. And there's an amazing story on there about the homeless man at Manchester City Center. Which, you know what, I'm going to let you share the story. If you don't mind, would you share this incredible story with our listeners here today?
Yeah, sure. So I think we were going to get a magazine printed for a football club that we were looking to work with. And I'd gone into Manchester. I live about 30 minutes to an hour away from Manchester. Mm-hmm. I'd gone in there to the print shop, parked up, and I was walking down and there was a homeless guy there kind of sat outside the shop with his dog. So I said hello to him and walked in and got my stuff printed. And on the way out, I kind of saw him again, and I can't remember how it started the conversation, but we just started talking, and he just said, as I was walking away, he said, oh, I'll be where you are one day.
Oh.
And I just I turned around and it would just stop me in my tracks a little bit that he would say something like that. And I turned
right.
around and I said,
right.
I said, oh, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, you got nice shoes, nice clothes. I had a bag with me. He goes, you got a leather bag? And goes, I'll be there one day. And the reason why that was so interesting to me was because, you know, we spoke about kind of the state of mind versus state of play.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of got to see that although you can be on the street corner homeless, as much as it may sound like everyone's going to have a preference, we're all going to want to live in a nice house with heating, and especially in Manchester, it's freezing cold, and
yeah.
have these things. But you know, if your state of mind is strong and you get to understand how powerful that is, that you can go from the street to wherever you really want to go. So I think we sat down, I stood and talked to him for a little bit longer, and he told me about his life and,
mm-hmm.
you know, how he ended up on the street. And I think the main point that I was making was that within the several homeless people that, you know, you bump in city centres, there's a premise to sort of hand them out a drink, hand them out a coat or whatever. But, you know, what they really need is some form of engagement. So, you know, not judging that person, being able to stand and talk and listen to them. And that's what he wanted, you know, and he saw that as the key point as to why people end up on the street. There's kind of a lack of engagement from parents, lack of engagement from schools and into the social services we've got over here. There's plenty that do a great job, but still we can do better, and kind of listen to them and get to understand their view of the world. And I think once you do that, then you can help them build a stronger mindset, and that's what's going to get them back on their feet. It's not over here, there's a big talk about you need more housing for homeless people. I'm not saying that's the wrong thing, but you've got to combine it with the mental side of it to build them
right.
up mentally, because that's what's going to stop them
sense.
Stop them coming back, you know.
Right, because you want to end it, right? And it seems like you said it. I mean, I think a lot of times people will pass by homeless people and that engagement, unfortunately, is not there. But like you said, when you took the time to stop and talk with him, I mean, you found out a lot about him, and you could see it was something that he had missed and had yearned, and you were able to provide that. And I think truly, you can't find out someone needs anyways until you talk to them. A lot of times, I think we make assumptions, you know, about what
why this person's home and what they need. But when you talk with them, you actually get to find the real source. And so I thought that was a beautiful story. And
yeah,
thank you so much for sharing that with our listeners today.
No, that's good. Yeah, I think you're right. We make assumptions, and I think we're scared, you know. I think a lot of people are scared to talk to people on the street. You know, I'm not saying that everyone on the street is a really nice person, you know. They're going to do what they got to do to survive, most of them, you know. But, you know, if you want to help people change, which is what we like to do at Live Within, you know, whether it's someone on the street or they're a professional superstar, it's all about helping them change and, you know, move up through whatever they want to do and enjoy it as well. So then you've got to listen to them, you've got to engage with them, and you've got to understand their perspectives, and that's going to help them.
Right, it's going to help them. And just staying on the subject of helping others and really helping people to hopefully fulfill their dreams, I mean, what inspirational words of wisdom do you have for aspiring young entrepreneurs out there who want to both thrive and survive in the industry?
I think the most important thing is to be honest and to kind of listen to what you really want to do, you know, because I think sometimes we get caught up in what maybe others want us to do or what the social best thing socially is, you know, to look good on Instagram or to look good on Twitter or Facebook or Snapchat or whatever it is. But it's kind of just to dig down a little bit deeper and get to understand what really appeals to you. It might not be the most fashionable thing in the world. It might not make you the richest person in the world, but it's going to be what enables you to work and get immersed in something that you're going to turn into a success. You know, it's not going to be success, if you want to call it that, you know, doing whatever you really want to do doesn't come through doing nothing. It's about taking action. So if you may as well do something that you're really into and something you're inspired to do, rather than just something that you think you should do or is socially you know, socially something that thousands and millions of people are inspired to do already, you know, like you should do that. It's got to be something that is genuinely something you want to do.
Right. Follow your heart, right? Follow what's something that, you know, you've been yearning to do. And then I think you're, like you're saying, you know, you'll be successful at it because you have that passion, that motivation that'll push and propel you, right, to be successful in that endeavor.
Yeah. And even it's got to be something that you would do even if it wasn't successful, you know? Even if
that's
you're not
true,
successful,
right.
Because there's so many people out there that are not going to be in the top 10 of whatever it is they're doing in the world or in their country or in their, even in their neighborhood. So, you know, you want to spend your time doing something you do. So it's almost kind of maybe the question to ask yourself is, you know, what would I do if I knew that I couldn't be successful, that it's just going to have to be something that I really want to do, you know? Because that's kind of a different way to look at it, I guess.
That is. Yeah, I like that. You know what? You know, I mean, you do have to look at that side. I think often we're not taught that, right? We're always taught we're going to be the best and be the most successful. But that's true. If you're realistic, you know, right? Not everyone's going to be that top 10, right? If looking at basketball, not everyone can be the LeBron James
that's
of the
it,
world,
yeah.
Right? It's true. But, I mean, there's also so many other facets that where you can still touch the game and be around the game and be successful, but in a different way, right? You might not be making headlines like him or be the coolest person on Instagram maybe like him, but there's other ways you can. And even if you're not successful at it, you're doing what you wanted to do and you followed your passion and your dreams, and I think it gives you another chance to do, you know, something else that you're passionate about. And just staying with that, I mean, staying with like the trend theme, I mean, I'm very curious to hear what are Lit Within's thoughts on the global rise of esports and the hit video game FIFA 19 becoming more addictive to some youth than the real thing.
Yeah, you mean in kind of in general or in kind of like kids getting addicted to playing video games, or do you just mean
kids getting addicted and just the overall thoughts of how you see esports rising throughout the world, really?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a good thing if kids enjoy it, you know. It's one of those things that is come along with changes in technology, and you get people on YouTube just watching people play esports for hours. So
Yeah, and just having millionaires on YouTube from that. How many people watch?
That's it. Yeah. So it's like any other sport, really. You know, otherwise, you know, over here we have sports where you don't have to be kind of physically fit, but you've got to be really skillful. So, you know, if that's what we have a lot of players over here, footballers who love to play, you know, Fortnite and FIFA and all these types of games. So I think it's only going to get bigger in the future. And like you said, as long as it doesn't turn into something where, you know, you think you've got to win this game, or, you know, then you can't continue. It's got to be something that you enjoy, you know. So even it, whether it's esports, right, or whether it's baseball, you know, it's whether it's professional football, whatever it is, it's just got to be something you enjoy, something that you do, even if somebody wasn't paying you, even if there was no shot of success, then I think that's fine, you know. And like I said, I think it's only set to grow, and I think it's going to become a, maybe not mainstream, but it's going to come close, I think, in the future.
Yeah, I think definitely we continue to see it grow. As you said, technology is going to continue to advance. And as you said, I mean, it's a skill that you do have to be successful in that. But I think it just shows, you know, the power of sport, whether they be these sports or, you know, the real thing on the field or in the stadium or wherever it be. All right, Louis, so last we have to ask you, where can the audience find more about Lit Within and all of the many great things that the business continues to achieve?
Yeah, sure. So you can go to litwithin.co.uk to see a little bit more about our company, what we do. I think there's a download on there for any aspiring athletes or professional athletes or anyone that just wants to take a look and find out more about us. Or you can go onto Instagram at @onelitwithin, and we're regularly posting on there, keeping people up to date with what we're doing and trying to bring value, really, for, like I said, aspiring athletes, you know, whether that's esports or basketball or football or whatever, just trying to bring value to them on there, and who knows, hopefully work with them one day as well.
Yeah, very exciting. So make sure you check out Lit Within. Louis, I have to thank you so much for joining us today. I can't believe how fast the show went, but thank you again for sharing the great information about, one, yourself, and two, your great organization, Lit Within.
Okay, thanks a lot for having us.
Yeah, a true pleasure. And for everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with KNN. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course, jumped in on the KNN bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play. Thank you.